economy for the Lord to do something like that, we really take it from him that he wants us out there. It's kind of like the children of Israel, when the cloud moves, you go. And that's kind of how we feel about this move. And so we're not sure what the Lord has in store for us when we get out there. We hope it's not a tornado or something like that. I don't want to be like Elijah and go home that way. But we are looking forward to the opportunities that the Lord gives us to speak for him and to do whatever it is he wants us to do while we're living out there. And we would appreciate your prayers for the sale of our home here in Myrtle Beach. Again, this is not the kind of economy to try and sell a house and to get anything for it. But we know that if the Lord's in the middle of this venture, that selling a house is really nothing to him. He could do it in good times or bad times, and so we just leave that to him. But we would appreciate your prayers for us. And specifically, I would appreciate your prayers for my wife. We're going to be going out there a week at a time for work, and a lot of this moving and packing stuff is falling on her shoulders and on my older boys. And I'm sure they would appreciate your prayers, too, that the Lord will give them help and keep them from killing me for bringing all this on them. That being said, one other thing, and last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Mark and Angie Hartley for their kind hospitality this weekend and for their kids for putting up with our kids and everything else. We dearly appreciate it and love them. That being said, let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Now turn over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And not to be redundant, Luke chapter 13. It's always nice when the Spirit of God gives you confirmation about the passage of Scripture you'll be reading from. Luke 13 and verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drink and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Why in the world would we read those three portions of Scripture together? The first one, we find one who is not far from the kingdom of God. And the second one, we found one that is not free for the kingdom of God. And last, we found one who is not found in the kingdom of God. And it's certainly the desire of our heart this morning and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ that there be nobody in this company that falls under those three categories. For he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Mark chapter 12, we read of this scribe that enters into the presence of the Lord, and he asks him the question, what is the greatest commandment? It's not the first time that the Lord had been asked that question. This scribe was one who meticulously spent his occupation in copying the Mosaic Law. He knew the law pretty well. And for all that he knew, he could not figure out which of all the laws was the greatest. And so he thought to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, which is the greatest for the first commandment of all? And the Lord answered him. And yet we read in verse 34 that when the Lord saw that he answered him discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Beloved, the Lord Jesus did something that you and I cannot do. He looked into the very heart of this man. And he understood exactly what he was trying to do. The question wasn't, which is the first commandment of all that I might make sure that I'm keeping the commandments? The question was, which is the first commandment of all so that if I just keep that one, I'll feel good about myself. And you know, in this life, it is possible for us to adopt that kind of thinking. We live in a place called Horry, South Carolina. The H is silent. We call it Horry, South Carolina. But in Horry, South Carolina, we have found in the last 8 years that we've been living there that everybody is inflicted with a terrible disease. And maybe it's well that the Lord is moving us out of there, lest we get it too. That disease is good enoughitis. That is when you're told to do something on the job or in the home or wherever it might be, you do enough just so that it's good enough instead of doing it to the best of your ability. Unfortunately, it seems like that kind of thinking has crept into the Lord's people as well. And we, like this scribe here in Luke chapter 12, we just want to know what's the bare minimum that we can do and still be seen as an upright standing citizen. Just enough so that we can be seen as a Christian. Just enough so that others looking on us and thinking of us can think good thoughts of Scott Tucker. The Lord Jesus understood this man's questioning. And the Lord's comment was, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You know, my friend, we can try and keep the law, but all that does is make us law keepers. It really doesn't affect our heart's condition, does it? And I'm not here advocating that we don't keep the law. Please don't drive behind me on the freeway, okay? Whatever you do. I'm not advocating that we don't keep the law. I'm advocating that if we want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps there's one in this room that believes what they're doing in life is good enough, but it's not what the law of life by the Spirit of God says is necessary in the Word of God. Ye must, the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, be born again. You must. There's no two ways about it. There's no good enough. You must be born again. The Lord Jesus said to this scribe, you're so close. You're not far from the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this morning how close you can be and yet be altogether lost? The Lord chose 12 disciples, didn't he? And they accompanied him for 3 years of his public ministry. And they ate with him. They slept with him. They went from city to city with him. They saw what he said and what he did. They noticed how he turned the water into wine. First miracle at Cana of Galilee. They saw how he healed the withered man's hand. The withered hand of a man, I should say. They saw how he told that impotent man, rise up, take thy bed and walk. And he walked. They were there when he raised Lazarus from the dead with but a word. Lazarus, come forth. They had been with him through all of that. And yet we read that Satan filled the heart of one individual to the point of betrayal. And we read that even the Lord Jesus himself would call out to this man in the Garden of Gethsemane, friend! And Judas would kiss the very door of heaven. And yet the scriptures record, from that he went to his own place. That's how close you can be to heaven and miss it for all eternity. Think of that king, King Agrippa, as Paul stood before him to give his defense of the gospel. And Agrippa could say, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. And as the hymn writer penned, we sometimes sing, almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Almost, but lost. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. What has put that distance in there between men and between a holy and a righteous God? Was sin, wasn't it? Sin entered in. And as a result of being the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we all fall under sin. The scripture records all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. They are all together gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is not what God wants. So we turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 13, where we read Paul writing to the believers there. He says, "You who sometimes were afar off have now been made nigh by the blood of Christ." See, the Lord Jesus is all about reconciliation. The Lord Jesus is all about bringing together. The Lord Jesus is all about taking that which is in the distance and bringing it to nearness to himself. And that's why, as believers in Christ, sometimes in our lives we feel so far from him, and we admit we need to pray, "Lord, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee." We are far, we are distanced from God because of sin. But thank God the remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God the remedy was him there on Calvary's tree, as we remembered this morning, bearing my sin there for me, that I, who was afar off from the kingdom of God, might be forevermore ushered in to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfully, beloved, there is a day coming for all of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ and his atoning work, that we will be found in the presence of the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Perhaps there's someone in this company this morning. You recognize that there's a distance. You recognize that you haven't even come close. You can come and you can occupy a pew, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, meeting after meeting of the Lord's people, and still not be saved. I remember growing up in the assembly as a young fella, and when we got to the age where you would have these send-offs for those that were getting married, we would have these what we call BTTR meetings, Bachelors Till the Rapture, bachelor parties kind of a thing, you know. And we'd unceremoniously get rid of one of our ranks and see them go off into to married life, and so we would give them a formal going away. And I'll never forget this one. It was unlike any other. They're usually just a bunch of frivolity and fun and laughing and everything else. But I'll tell you this, this one got serious real quick. This young man that was getting married stood up at that meeting and told us all, this room full of guys, young, hot, single guys, okay, that he had everybody fooled into thinking that he was saved. He had grown up in the assembly, through the Sunday school, everything, said the right things, did the right things, and his own admission was, "I had all of you fooled. I only recently got saved." Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 14, we read of one who is not free for the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus, speaking a parable to them, tells of a certain man that made a supper and bade many to come, invited many guests to come. And when the feast was ready, the servants went out and said, "Come, it's all ready. Come on. It's time to go." And with one consent, the scripture says they all began to make excuse. Verse 18, one of them says, "I've got property." And you know what? I don't know if I've been sold a bill of goods. I don't know if I've bought a bunch of swampland or if I've got some rolling green hills. I don't know. Because you know what? I've done something very, very foolish. I bought property and I haven't checked it out yet. So excuse me. I'm not going to be able to make the party. Verse 19. Another one said, you know what? I bought the latest, greatest tractor, and I haven't tried it out yet. And today is the day that I thought I'd go on that John Deere and I'd test it out. Give it a real run through. See just how good it is. If it's everything it was advertised to be, you know, I spent an awful lot of money on this thing. It's going to make my life easier. Excuse me. I'm not going to be able to make the party. And then in verse 20, another one said, you know what? I've married a wife and I can't come. I can't come. And you know, in each of these three things that the Lord brings out in this parable, each of these is a particular problem that keeps us all from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be for salvation, true, or whether it be as a believer in Christ and spending more and more time with Him. So usually one of these three things. First of all, the realm of property. If it hasn't been impressed on us before in our previous opportunities to move, it has certainly been impressed upon us, and my wife is laughing now, and these last few days as we've tried to get some things packed up at least and out of the way for this move to Wichita. And that is, where in the world did we get all this stuff from? Because you know what? It is a pain in the neck to pack all this stuff up and move across the country. The realm of property. I think I jumped ahead of myself a little bit there. The realm of property. There are some people that spend more time on their home, more time in their home, more time everything to do with their home. And certainly there is some kind of home movement, even amongst the Lord's people today, where everything is centered around the home rather than being centered on Christ. And we can allow a little plot of ground, property, to keep us from drawing closer to the Lord. Because I'll tell you one thing, my wife and I have said this over and over again, that we cannot wait for the day, and I hope our kids don't take offense to this, okay? But we can't wait till all of our kids are out on their own. Because you know what? We just want to downsize to something small for the two of us, preferably something where somebody else does the yard work and does the maintenance. When we first got married, we lived in an apartment, and man, what a pleasure that was. Didn't have to do yard work, didn't have to fix the toilet or anything, we just called. And we had all that time, all that free time to ourselves to do whatever we wanted to do. And we longed to get back to those days a little bit. That's selfish, I know. But that's the realm of property. My father-in-law used to tell me, you know, people always want to own a house, but the more you own a house, the more it owns you. Is that true? Yeah, you bet it's true. There's always something to fix, isn't there? The realm of property. Then in verse 19, we have the realm of possessions. And this is what I was thinking on a little bit earlier, got ahead of myself. The realm of possessions. You know, we've got a lot of stuff. Not quite sure where it all came from, but over the years, 8 years of being in Myrtle Beach, we've accumulated more stuff than when we left Michigan for Myrtle Beach. You remember what the Lord Jesus said about that? He said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. The bumper sticker used to say, the one with the most toys wins. And that you can tell the difference between a man and a boy from the size of his toys. We can accumulate a lot of things. But a lot of things keep us from the Lord Jesus, don't they? You know? Well, when we first got married, it was just a little 13-inch TV, you know? And we'd have people over to watch a game or something, and, you know, it would be there, and we'd be back here, and you almost needed binoculars to see the fact. And now they're, you go into Sam's now, and they're like 60 inches bigger than life, and oh, don't forget high definition, too. It's more and more and more and more things. More and more things to occupy our time, more and more reasons for us to say, sorry, Lord, I cannot come. And in verse 20, we will allow personal relationships to keep us from coming. Tell the Lord I've married a wife and I can't come. She's got a honey-do list for me that's yay long, you know. I'll never get it done if I come. How is it for you, beloved? What's keeping you from the Lord Jesus this morning? If you're here today and you've never, ever, ever in your life bowed the knee, received the forgiveness of sins as a result of understanding that the Word of God says you're a sinner in need of a Savior, understanding that you need to repent from those sins and turn away from them, but turn to God for salvation. And accept the free gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He accomplished at Calvary. If you've never, ever come to a place like that in your life, what's keeping you from doing it? Is there something in your home? Some relationship that you have with somebody? What is it that's keeping you from knowing Christ as Lord and Savior? Because the sad reality of this parable is that none of those men that were bitten, none of those ones that gave excuse after excuse after excuse, shall, the Lord says in verse 24, taste of my supper. That is the end result for all those who are not free for the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 13 of Luke we read, again, the Lord Jesus using a parable to answer a question, Lord, are there few that be saved? And the last time I spoke from this portion of Scripture, I did it in a Catholic church at my own father's funeral. As far as I know, he died an unbeliever. And he's in hell today. The Lord Jesus says, to start this parable off, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Let me give you the force of that word strive there. It literally means to endeavor to accomplish something. In the business world, we say push through to the completion of your project. Strive. Don't let anything stand in your way. Get there. It also means to compete for a prize. Anybody here competitive? You're an American, right? You're competitive. To contend with an adversary. The Lord Jesus is saying, mean business about this. This is your very life, eternal life, that is at stake. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Once when the master of the house is risen and is shut to the door, and ye begin to say without, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Yet, they're using the right vernaculars, aren't they? They're saying the right words. Lord, Lord. They recognize where they want to be. Not on the outside, on the inside. Open to us. But hear the word of the Lord. The answer. I know you not. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do that until the day you die, guess what? You will leave this life unknown. You may leave this life unwanted, but you will never leave this life unloved. Because the Lord Jesus Christ loves the sinner. He loves you. And He died to pay for your sins. To make it possible for you to have life everlasting inside with Him instead of outside with all those who would reject Him as Lord and Savior. What makes it difficult, I think, for people is that they have to bow the knee, don't they? You have to be willing to admit that you're nothing short of a guilty, hell-deserving sinner and come to Christ for the remedy. My friend, if that is your situation this morning, you will either bend it now or you will bend it in the coming day. For the Bible tells us in Philippians that everything in the earth, on the earth, under the earth, and every tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You'll do it one way or the other. So much better to do it on the inside of this door than on the outside. I say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And if there's anyone here that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, if you perish in your sinful state, you will see friend, relative, acquaintance, even people that have prayed for you in the presence of God, and you yourself thrust out. Not found in the kingdom of God. It is our prayer this morning that there's not one of us, saved or unsaved alike, that would say that they are not far from the kingdom of God, that have allowed distance to enter in, that would say that they're not free for the kingdom of God, that they have allowed things to replace the Lord in their life, that it might not ever, ever, ever be said that they will never, ever be found in the kingdom of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the quietness of these few moments, as we bow our hearts in thy presence, we pray that the gravity of the message this morning might hit home in our hearts. We pray that if there is any soul, man, woman, or child, in our company today that has never, ever accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Oh Lord, we pray that today they might recognize that there's a day coming when they might find themselves thrust out from the kingdom of God. May thy Spirit deal kindly with them, Lord, we pray. Lead them to the person of Christ. Lead them to the knowledge of sins forgiven and the assurance of being forever with and like the Lord Jesus Christ all as a result of what he has done for them on Calvary's cruel tree. Lord, for those of us this morning who are saved, as we rise from our seats, may our hearts just be very tender toward those that are dealing with thee on this issue. We pray, too, that our hearts might be convicted of how often we have not been free. We who know and love thee, we who will be with thee forevermore, that we've allowed things to creep in and make us not free for spending time with thee. Help us to that end. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. We give thee thanks in thy precious and holy name, Lord Jesus.